Speaking of Academy Awards, I have this philosophy in my life, this principle that which I live by, which is Philippians 4:8, and that directs whether or not I watch a show. And so I tried my best to make sure that the things I watch are very pure and wholesome. However, the story I'm about to tell you happened when I was a kid, where the principle wasn't as in place for my life. We were at my dad's place, visiting him over the weekend. It was a fall weekend. And this one night, we'd been out all evening and got home, and my dad had a TV in his room, which was such a novelty back then. And so we were super excited. We thought, well, we'll go upstairs and we'll crash on the bed. And there, as we began to flip through the channels, I saw this preview about a movie that was about to come on, and it was a horror movie. Now, I've never been allowed to watch horror movies. I don't watch horror movies now, but I've never been allowed. My mom would never allow it, but I was with my dad. And so I turned to my dad, and I said, "Dad, what do you think? Can we watch this?" And my dad, who would only see us every other weekend, he was always trying to do good things for us, and so he's like, yeah, we for sure we could watch that. I was like, this is awesome. Mom's going to kill us, but this is awesome. And he ordered pizza, and so we sat on his bed eating pizza, and we're watching this horror movie. At the end of the movie, the killer in this movie, it was in the final part of the movie. And I don't remember the details of the movie, but what I do remember is that the person that he was after had somehow come to a place where she had attacked him with something and had hurt him significantly. And I thought, surely he's done. But kept on going. Then the next thing I knew, she attacked him again. And I thought, surely he's done this time. But nothing. Then there was another scene where significant injury should have taken place. And I thought, surely he's done now. But nothing. Then finally, there was this one moment where there was a scene where, I won't describe it everything, but I thought that it was the fatal moment. And there's this relief as a kid that the guy who's been chasing her is now done with, that he is down for the count, there is no possibility, and there's just this calm over your heart. And so the mother goes to her child, and she's comforting him, and the music changes, and you're just like, this is the end of the movie. She finally has escaped this guy who's been after her through the entire movie. And as I'm just watching and I'm reflecting about her journey, all of a sudden, and you know what happens, he's there again. And this is what comes to my mind. Is there nothing that will keep this man down? I mean, is there nothing that will keep this man down? I don't know how many of you have watched TV shows where that's the case. It seems that the good guy, someone basically just has to slap him in the face. The person's down for like 2 hours. But the criminal, I mean, he gets shot 75 times and he's still going. Is there anything that will keep this man down? I don't know about your philosophy of life, but I want the enemy saying that about Jeff Hillier. I want him looking at Jeff Hillier and saying, is there nothing that will keep him down? He just keeps getting back up. I want the devil to be perplexed like he was with Job. Is there nothing that will keep him down? Every time he gets knocked down, he gets back up. Every time he trips, he stands again. And every time I think that he's out, I just keep seeing him get back up again. I want the devil saying that about me, that I'm an individual who keeps getting back up. And yet for so many people, they go through life and little things trip them up and they're just down for the count. There are people that I've met in the church world who will come and the first time they get offended, they're just like, oh, that does it. I'm done here. I'm done with faith. If that's the way Christians who are supposed to represent Christ treat us, then I'm done. And they walk away. They walk away down, being down. There was somebody who didn't get their way in a situation. They go, I'm just done. Or maybe there was an individual, maybe you're an individual who's prayed for something and it doesn't seem like God answered your prayer. And just like, God, I'm done. And you stay down. You stay down. I've met people who it takes so little for them to stay down. The Bible tells us, though, that it's only the foolish who stay down. It's the righteous who keep getting back up. It's the righteous who keep standing. I mean, you want to live a foolish life, you want to live a life of the fool, then stay down every time someone offends you. Stay down every time you don't get your way. Stay down every time someone says something about you that you don't like. Stay down every time you don't get a prayer answered. But if you want to live the fool-proof life, If you want to live a life of righteousness, then get back up every time you get knocked down. I want to look at our last passage in the Foolproof series. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and 16 says, "Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their dwelling place. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." Look at that bold part just for a second. "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again." Solomon's saying to the wicked individual, hey, there's no point in you trying to go after a righteous person. There's no point in you trying to take out somebody who's on the foolproof life. Because that individual, even if you can trip them up, even if they fall down, that righteous individual is going to get back up again. Solomon knows that if a person walks the foolproof life, the righteous life, they will keep getting back up no matter how many times they fall. And most of us are sitting here and we'd say, well, Pastor, that's the kind of life I want to live, but how do I live that? How do I keep getting up when I get knocked down? When life throws some curveballs, when there's all of a sudden a major speed bump in the middle of the road that slows me down, when all of a sudden I get news that I don't want to hear, how do I keep going and get back up when it feels like I should just stay down? And I want to look at a few things just from that little part in the passage that though a righteous man falls seven times, they will get back up. The first thing you need to do in order to be that type of individual who's going to live the foolproof life is you need to say, I will depend. I will depend. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls. He's assuming that's going to happen. Now, friends, let me just say this just for a brief moment. Solomon's not talking about a moral failure here. He's not saying, oh, though righteous people just keep sinning. That's not his intention. The concept is, though a righteous person become weak in the knees, all of a sudden their strength goes out from them. He's assuming that in every one of our lives, there will be moments where we lose the strength within our legs. I don't know if you've ever faced one of those moments before. I may have shared this here before, but I played soccer a number of years ago for a 35 and older team. And it was my first game of the season. I'll never forget it. It was in Coburg, and my friend Declan had passed me the ball, and here I was, my first time playing soccer in years, and I began to run with the ball, and I'm on a breakaway. I'm past the defense, just me and the goalie. I'm thinking, if I can just keep going, I can surely beat the goaltender. I'm giving it everything. And then all of a sudden, my legs just lost strength. I mean, you got to think about this. I'm running full tilt, like I should be on the TSN turning point. I mean, like everybody's like cheering in the background, and I'm running full strength, and all of a sudden it's. I mean, it looked foolish. I'm right. There's nobody who's tripped me. It's not like there's a hole in the ground. I mean, it's just like complete loss of strength. This is what Solomon is saying: is that there's times when we will lose the strength in our legs, where we're going through life and something happens and we lose, and in that moment when you lose the strength in your legs, when you fall down, when life brings something at you that just takes the strength out of you, how in the world is it possible to get back up? I mean, it wasn't like I fell down and I'm down on the ground and I was just like, okay, jump back up and start running. I could barely stand after that. I had no more strength. The fact is, friends, you can't. Just to encourage you, let's leave now. You can't. You can't get up. Not in your own strength. That's why you need to say, I will depend. Look at these verses right here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. The day when I'm crying out, God, I'm laying on the ground. I've fallen and I don't have anything in my soul. You made me bold with your strength, God. And then the last verse, it says this, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble. Friends, I want you to know that when you get to the place where you fall down, you've got to say, I will depend not on my own strength, because you don't have the strength to get back up. I will depend on His strength.
I will depend on him. Many of you face these moments. You get a bad medical report. There's a situation in your family. There's a chance that your job's about to be taken away from you. I mean, the news, nobody wants to hear you. You hear these things, and all of a sudden, it's like, I got to sit down because I don't have enough strength to carry me through this. How am I going to get through this? And then you begin to just call out on the name of Jesus. God, I just need you. I depend on you. You're my strength. You make my soul bold. You're the one who gives me the strength I need. And when it doesn't seem like you can keep going, when it doesn't seem like you can step another step, when everybody else thinks that you should be done, it's not your strength to get you back up. It's the strength of the one that you're depending on. It's his strength. He stood there at the edge of the boat. He had looked over the boat many times and had stood in this very spot many times. But this was a unique moment for this man, because he was about to do something that he had never done. It made no sense to his mind. In that dark night, with a familiar setting, he would step into the unfamiliar. And so that day, Peter lifted his leg and he placed it over the other side of the boat. I'm sure he wasn't looking at the people behind him or around him, because their faces would have discouraged him. There was bewilderment on some of their faces. There was snickering amongst some of them. There was all kinds of negative attitudes toward what Peter was about to do. But he had heard his master say, "Come on out." And so that day, Peter raised his leg and he stepped out into the water. It was the most unique thing as he placed his foot down. He had felt that feeling before, that wet feeling. He felt the water gather around the bottom of his feet, and that was not unique. What was unique was that the water was pushing up against his foot. For the first time in his life, the water wasn't dispensing and his foot wasn't going straight down. For some reason and in some way, the water was keeping his feet above the depths. And so Peter, in his amazement, pulls his other leg from the boat, and now he is beyond his comfort zone, and he is standing in a spot he's never been. And he begins to walk with excitement. Look what I'm doing. I'm in a spot that I've never been before. He's still amazed. Every step he's amazed. The water is familiar in feeling, but it somehow is pushing against the bottom of his feet. And he begins to take another step and another step. And Jesus is not too far, but Peter makes his way to him. He is absolutely filled with excitement and joy. And as he gets closer to Jesus, the joy all of a sudden crashes, because his mind takes over his heart. And he begins to think, what in the world am I doing here? This is not where people live. This water was not made to keep people up. And he begins to look around, and in that moment, the disciple falls. The Bible says that he begins to sink. And as he starts to go down, as he loses the strength to keep himself up, as he has the inability to stand back up again where he once was, he begins to sink, and all of a sudden he feels a hand reach down. It's not the hand of a human, it's the hand of the Son of God. And that carpenter's hand grabs hold of Peter's hand. And without understanding at all what's going on, Peter finds himself lifting from the surface of the depths, lifting from the dark places. And he begins to rise back up to the place he once was, to stand again, to stand upon the surface of the water. And he is amazed, because now it has nothing to do with his faith. Now it has nothing to do with his own willingness to step out of his comfort zone. Now it's only about the strength of the master. And somehow Peter walks with the hand of the carpenter, the hand of the Son of God, the hand that would be placed upon the blind eyes, the hand that would be placed upon the ill, the hand that would be placed upon the little children. He's holding that hand, and he walks back to the place he's supposed to be, because he depends on the strength of the one who has the strength. You see, friends, it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life. Those moments when you're sinking and it feels like you're about to drown. Those moments where you've fallen and all of the universe cries out, he's about to drown. All of a sudden we reach out and we find the hand of the Master. And it's his strength, his supernatural strength, that leads us back to the place that we should be. It's his strength that causes us to get back up. We depend on his strength. I love what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. It says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen to me. This is so powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It may seem like I'm sinking. It may seem like I've fallen. It may seem like I can't do another thing. But you got to understand something about me. I don't depend on my own strength because my strength will always fail. I depend on the one who strengthens me. And when I depend on him, I can do all things. You see, I will rise because I depend upon the one who gives me strength. I will depend. The second thing we've got to learn from this passage is that I will defy. I will defy. The Bible says, Solomon writes, though a righteous man falls 5, 3, 6, 7 times. Pastor, that's a lot. I mean, Solomon's probably just picking a random number. It's, you know, that's a lot. I don't spend much time talking about the significance of numbers in scriptures, but each number has a very specific meaning. The number 7 is the number of completion. The world was created in how many days? 7 days. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that God speaks to Israel and says that when they disobey him, he will discipline them 7 times. It's not like he's like, okay, I'm going to discipline them once, and it's twice, and 3. He's saying, I'm going to discipline them until they come to complete repentance, completeness. The creation was completed in 7 days. Then we see Peter coming to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? Should I forgive them 7 times? Just a random number? No, he's saying, will I come to the end of what's required of me for forgiveness if I forgive them 7 times? Will my forgiveness account be complete if I forgive them 7 times? And Jesus goes, no, it's 70 times 7. And he's not just doing a mathematical gymnastics. He's saying, oh, no, the completeness is much more beyond that. We see throughout Revelations that we keep seeing the number 7 showing up, and it's not just based upon 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's based upon completeness. Every time you see it, it means completeness. And then we see many times throughout Scripture that 7 is the number that's equated with God, because, friends, in God everything is complete. He is completeness. And so when Solomon says that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he's not talking about counting. He's talking about complete, done. This is what he's illustrating. He's like this. You know, someone falls 1 time, and you go, well, that's brutal. Yeah, he'll get it back up. Someone falls a 2nd time, oh, yeah. 4th, 5th, yeah, 6th. Oh, but the 7th time, ring the bell, he's done. I mean, this is complete. This is it. I mean, this is just complete fall. This person's not getting up. They've just faced it too many times. They've just fallen way too many times. They are completely out for the count. All the odds are against this person. You see, when a person has fallen 7 times, the world says, you're done. When a person has completely fallen, they say, I mean, it's over. And many of you have had those kind of counselors in your life. They've come along and they said, hey, listen, you might as well stay down. It's over with, because you've just given way too much and you can't give any more. You're down. Just stay down. Hey, you're done, because you've just messed up way too many times. You're done. Just stay down. Hey, you're done, because you just don't have what it takes. Hey, you're done, because you've given way more than you could possibly have been expected to give. You're done. It's complete. It's over. You just need to stay down. But Solomon says, the righteous, though they fall 7 times, though everybody around them says they're done, though all the odds are against them, though in our rationale it says that this person should stay down, it's the righteous person who says, no, I defy the odds. I defy the odds. I'm getting back up. You get ready to ring that bell, but you're going to be surprised, because though it looks like it's done, though it looks like I'm over, this is over, I'm getting up. I'm defying the odds. I will defy the odds. You know when defiance comes? Defiance comes when your opinion differs with somebody else. How many of you have kids? You know what I'm talking about, right? When your kid defies you, it's because they believe that their opinion is better than your opinion. Right? How many say amen? Revival service right here. Amen, amen. Say to a little kid, don't touch the stove, it's hot. You know, that little two-year-old kid thinks with all their life experience that they can look at you and they know better. Their opinion differs from yours. And so they defy you because their opinion is much, much better than your opinion. And that kid begins to walk towards it. Don't touch that. It's gonna hurt. I know more than mom and dad. Begins to walk because their opinion, and they begin, and then all of a sudden they reach out. Don't touch it. Place their hand on that stove. Ah! And then they begin to cry. You want to smack their hand, but the other side's already hurting. But this defiance comes when they believe, when one opinion is different from the other opinion. You see, when the world tells us that we should be down for the count, when everybody says you've just gone through too much, just stay down. When you've fallen seven times and it looks like it's complete. Something rises up in our spirit that says, I don't care about the opinions of everybody else. I only care about one opinion. It's the only opinion I care about is the one that matters. It's the opinion of Him, my Savior. What's He saying on this one? What's God saying? I don't care whether or not the people in my church say that I can't get up because they're just people. I don't care whether or not the people I work with say I can't get up because they're just people. I don't care if my friends, my family say I can't get up. What matters most is the opinion of the one who saved me. And Samson's standing in the temple of Dagon, and he has fallen so many times. His hair has been cut completely short. Looks like he's about to join the military. And he's got his eyes poked out, and he is now a mockery to the Philistines. This great man of God. I mean, if there's ever a picture of somebody who is out, if there's ever a picture of somebody who has fallen seven times, it's Samson. He's standing there in the temple, and they bring him out of the prison and place him in the middle of the temple, and they say to him, why don't you perform for us? I mean, I don't know what Samson's performance skills are. I don't know whether he can sing. If he can dance, does puppets, I don't know. But something he performs, and they're laughing, and there's 3,000 people on the roof, and all these people gathered around, and they're mocking the great judge of Israel, the great deliverer of Israel, who was called to bring about the release of Israel from the persecution of the Philistines, and they're mocking him. And everybody in that temple is saying, you are done. Your seventh time has come about. It's over. Nothing good can come from Samson. And as he's standing there, something comes into his mind. God called me. And the callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind on when he calls somebody. People may divert their lives away from his will, but his will was always that Samson was the redeemer for Israel, that he was the deliverer from Israel. And Samson is standing there and going, wait a minute. Yahweh called me to be the deliverer. Yahweh believes in me. Yahweh has the ability. And even though I'm looking around, although he's got no eyes, so even though I'm listening around to the people's jeers, even though I can hear what everybody else is saying that I'm done, I choose the opinion of the one that matters. And I defy the odds. Oh, God, give me one more opportunity to take out these people. Give me one more opportunity to fulfill the will for my life. Give me one more opportunity, dear God, to stand up and do something great for you. And all of a sudden, as he's placed along the pillar, he prays this prayer, the strength of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Not of his own ability, but all of a sudden the Spirit comes upon him and he gives one more push of these pillars and he takes out that temple and kills more Philistines that day than he had in his entire life previously. Why? Because he defied the odds. He knew what Yahweh thought of him. He knew the opinion of Yahweh. Listen to me, friends. There are times where you're looking around at what everybody else is saying. They think that you're done. I'm here to tell you today that in those moments when you find yourself in a place where it looks like you can't keep going and everybody around you's voice is saying, you can't go, it's over, you've hit number seven, it's time to say, I defy your odds because I'm looking to the one whose opinion matters most. I look towards his opinion. Don't let your opinion be determined by, or don't let your decisions be determined by the opinions of others. Let your decision be determined by the opinion of God. And defy the odds. I will depend. I will defy. And lastly, friends, I will determine. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise again. He will rise again. Who rises? The righteous man. Who's acting? The righteous man. I notice it doesn't say, though a righteous man falls seven times, then someone will drag his sorry self up. It doesn't say, though a righteous man falls seven times, then someone will come along, his mom will come along and force him to get back up. Get back up, you. It doesn't say that. It says that the righteous person gets up. They're the one that's determined to get up. They're the one that makes the choice. Why? Because, friends, the Bible lays out the why by saying it's a righteous person. A righteous person is not just somebody who's just pure in heart, but a righteous person is somebody who keeps making the right decisions. A righteous person is somebody who keeps making the right decisions. They're the person who's down, and they say, hey, you know what? I'm down, but the thing is that I've got to do what's right. I can't stay here. I've got to do what's right, and what's right is to get back up. And we've got to determine in those moments. You see, God will come along and give you the strength, but we've got to determine in those moments, I'm choosing to stand. I'm choosing to get out of bed. I'm choosing not to press snooze on the alarm clock anymore. I'm choosing to get back up and stand firm again. I know it's God's strength that's being given to me, but I still got to be involved. I still got to get up. I got to be determined to get back up. Why? Because, friends, listen to me. If you stay down when you fall, you will never fulfill the things that God's got for your life. Let me just tell you something. You do not want to hear me preach like this. This is not the purpose of my life. I can't do anything significant for God by doing this. And when we are laying down, when we've fallen down, the enemy is rejoicing over us because he knows that if I stay in this situation, that I won't do the things that God's got for my life. But when I'm laying down, and God's strength comes, and the enemy says, why don't you just stay down? I go, no, that's not right. No, I'm determined. I'm determined to get back up because I don't want the enemy winning. I don't want the enemy victorious. I'm getting back up because I got a plan. I got a plan for my life that comes from God. I can't fulfill the plans of God by laying down. I can't let the enemy win. I can't accomplish anything for the kingdom by laying down. I am determined to get back up. And there's got to be this resilience that says, I am determined, no matter what happens, not to let the enemy win, but I'm going to get back up. I may not feel like it. My mind may not always convince me, but I focus in on what God has called me to do, and I stand back up. I am determined to keep going. I'm determined to keep going. There's a pastor that has had a significant impact upon my life. A number of years ago, I won't tell you his name, we're going to call him Steve this morning. A number of years ago, he was traveling throughout North America as an evangelist. And I mean, God was using him powerfully. Significant lives were being saved, people being touched by the Holy Spirit, healed, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was just incredible. And this one year, he found himself in a part of our country ministering at this event. The host of the event picked him up and told him to get into the back of the car. And in the back seat of the car was a young teenage girl. He introduced himself to this young girl, and later on, the host got into the car and they drove to the event. Things went very, very well, and Steve didn't think much of it. Short while later, though, someone contacted Steve to let him know what was going on. The young girl in the car accused Steve of sexually assaulting her. Here's a man of God who's been traveling, giving everything of himself, and now he gets this accusation that he has sexually assaulted this girl in this very short period of time. He's devastated. I mean, you want to talk about your knees falling or the strength failing in your legs? He's facing it. And so he begins to plead with the parties that be, his authorities, and he says, you gotta believe me, I didn't do this. And this goes on for quite some time, so much so that he ends up having to go to court. Now, friends, when you're in ministry, it's not the same as if you're working in the secular world. When you're in the secular world, if there's some kind of charge against you, you can still go back to work. How many bookings do you think this guy got after this case? Phones started to come quiet. His reputation was being dragged through the mud. People didn't know all kinds of things that were taking place. This was about 30 years ago. My friend Steve told me that it cost him $20,000 of his personal money to go through the court cases with this young girl. And as they were in the court cases, the story kept changing with this girl. She just kept saying different things. At the end, she finally confessed that the story was untrue. I mean, friends, months and months and months of this man of God being dragged through the mud. $20,000 of his own money. His reputation marred. In fact, to this day, he still doesn't return to that part of Canada to minister because of the people who are still tied into him. You want to talk about a man who's been knocked down? You want to talk about a righteous man who's fallen? You want to talk about a righteous man who it seems like the number seven's over his life, like it's completely done for this guy? If there's ever a reason for somebody to walk away from that which God has called him to, it's this guy. But in the moment where he was knocked down, the call on his life was there. The call on his life was there. And he probably heard the enemy say to him, look, you're done. You'll never get another speaking engagement. You'll never do anything significant for the kingdom of God. You might as well stay down. Why don't you use your oratory skills and become a broadcaster or get into some secular realm like everybody else does when they fail? Just choose a different path. But he laid down in that moment, as he's knocked down that moment, something rose up inside of him and says, I am determined to get back up because I'm not letting the enemy win over my life. And he got back up and he says, I have a call on my life. I have called to reach people. And he went on. He began to reach like thousands upon thousands. Went to the United States to pastor a church that is a significant church now that's reaching thousands of people. People coming to Christ all the time because he said when he was down, I am determined to get back up. I'm not letting the enemy win this. I'm not letting the enemy win this situation. Friends, listen to me. The enemy wants you to stay down. And those who stay down are living a fool life. A foolish life. But the foolproof life is the life that says, even though I'm down, even though I don't want to get up, there is still a call on my life to do something significant, to minister for the kingdom of God, to please my Father, and we determine to get back up. Nobody drags us back up. Nobody forces us to get up. We choose. We say, I get back up because I want to do this for my Father. I want to do this for my Father. You see, you've got to say, I will depend on the one who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When you feel weak, when your legs fail you, don't try to do it in your own strength. Call upon the Father. Call upon Jesus. Ask the Spirit to come and give you strength. I will depend. And when the world's standing around you and they're kicking at you and they're telling you to stay down and they're quoting to you the odds and they're telling you what the medical journals say and they're telling you what psychologists say and they're placing some stinking label upon your life, you look up at them and say, I defy your opinion. I choose only the opinion of God. And then in that moment, you say, I determine that I will get back up and I'm going to go for everything that I've got for Jesus Christ. Keep going. Last thing, when I was a kid, Pastor Steve and Jess, would you just come back? When I was a kid, we had this toy. I meant to have it this morning, but trying to get Brock ready for Bible college, and I forgot to get it. But I had this toy, and maybe many of you remember it. It was like a clown face, and it had this. It was like a cylinder type of toy. It had this heavy base, and then it went up like this, and there was this clown face. And what you did is you would punch the clown in the face, and the clown face would the clown would go down. You guys remember this? Yeah. So you hit it, and they come back up. And you hit it again, and it'd come back up. You kick the thing, and it'd come back up. I mean, I'd take the thing, and I'd throw it across the room and still get back up. No matter what I did, that thing just kept coming back up. And friends, that's the picture I want you to have for your life. That even though life may hit you a few times, even though the enemy may kick you, karate chop you, throw you across the room, then nothing's going to keep you down. Nothing's going to keep you down. That you're just going to keep getting back up. Just keep getting back up. Because that's what the righteous do. That's what the righteous do. I want you to stand with me this morning. I've asked Pastor Steve to lead us in the song. We haven't sung it since Easter. But it talks about rising up. And maybe you're in this place. In fact, why don't you just do this? Just close your eyes just for a second. How many would say today, Pastor, I feel like I've been down, but I need to get back up? If that's you, raise your hand right now. That's good. This morning as we sing the song before we close, I want you to sing with everything. Say, God, I will depend on your strength. God, I will defy the odds of everybody else because my eyes are on your opinion. God, I will determine that I'm going to stand up. That I'm going to fulfill the things you have for my life. The enemy's not keeping me down. He doesn't win. Only God wins. Would you sing it with everything you've got this morning as we sing this?
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrected. Your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive. Sing it one more time. Resurrecting me by your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Come on, let that song just stir your spirit now. In his name we declare victory. The resurrecting Christ brings us from death to life. Though we fall seven times, it's through the strength of the resurrected one that we rise back up. Right now, I just declare
declare over your life, no matter how much the enemy has been trying to kick you, no matter how much he's been trying to keep you in the ashes, no matter how many times the soldiers have been stuck in the grave, I declare right now that he will not keep you down, that you are a righteous man, you are a righteous woman, and it's time for you to rise up and fulfill the things that God's got for your life. It's time for you to stand up and do what God has for you today. I declare that over your life. Enemy, you do not win. Jesus wins every time. We represent the victor today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would you close your eyes just for a moment, just before I conclude? Perhaps you're in this place, you'd say, Pastor, I've messed up so many times, I've kind of walked away from God. Or maybe you're here, you say, you know what, I've been so messed up with the things of this world, I don't even know God. But if you're telling me that he's willing to pick me up out of the mess, I'm here to tell you that he's willing to pick you up out of the mess. That he laid his life down on the cross to raise you up from your state of sin, to raise you up from your state of death. You say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus, but today I want to make him in charge. If that's you, would you just raise your hand at me? Just really quickly, just raise your hand right now. No one's looking around, just you and me. Is there anybody in this place? Maybe you didn't. Oh, there's one over here. Thank you. Thank you. Whoever that was, just raise your hand. I encourage you to come to the front, and Pastor Steve actually will meet with you as soon as the service is over and just talk with you just for a few moments. Just make sure you come forward. The best decision you ever made. Friends, as I close in prayer, let me just say this to you. You are not defeated. I want you to know this. You're not defeated. The righteous, though they fall seven times, they get back up. Today is a brand new day. I don't care about yesterday. I don't care about last week. I don't care about what's happened at work. I don't care about what the doctor said. I don't care about what your bank account says. I don't care about, I don't care about that stuff. I care about the opinion of God over your life. And he will be your strength. His opinion matters. Defy the odds. Today we choose. We determine we're going to rise up. So, Father, as we conclude this service and as we're about to go up into the foyer to meet with Pastor Nick, I pray, dear God, that your hand would be upon this congregation. Jesus, I pray that you would just allow something to rise up in the hearts of those who've been defeated, God, and that today they would choose to depend upon you, to defy the odds, and to be determined to get back up. We will rise and accomplish the things that God has, for we serve the risen King. Would you bless this congregation? Would you use them in a significant way this week? We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a great week, everyone.